Hey, welcome. My name is Jermaine Harrison. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from control, comfort, a critical spirit, and performance-based acceptance. Glad you guys are here. We are on and continuing this section of our curriculum called Initiate Reconciliation, where we do our part to make peace with others by following God's plan for forgiveness and amends. And if you were here last week, or you remember that we made the point that God went to great lengths to make peace with us, the greatest of lengths you could possibly go, where he became one of us, he became like us, and lived perfectly, and hung on a cross with every sin that would ever be committed, weighing on him as he was the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. God went to great lengths to make peace with us, and he calls us to go to great lengths to make peace with one another. In fact, he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, he talks about a certain group of people being blessed, experiencing his divine favor. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And so we talked about last week that vertical transaction, if you will. If you're in your step group curriculum booklet, it's on page 112. That I'd love for you to look at as we talk about these two ideas tonight, recapping forgiveness from last week and talking about amends tonight. But on the cross on page 112, you'll see that forgiveness that we talked about last week is a decision to trust God with justice and vengeance. Forgiveness is a decision to trust God with justice and vengeance, not taking it on your own, not trying to exact judgment, but entrusting that fully and completely to the God of the universe. And so it's releasing that person and entrusting them to God. So it's a vertical transaction, really, between you and God. The second part of this step of initiating reconciliation is a step of making amends. So again, if you look on the footprint on page 112, you see that forgiveness is on the vertical line between you and God, and amends is on the horizontal line between you and others. And so making peace through amends is what we're going to specifically focus on through our Devo tonight, and then we'll talk more about it in our step groups, along with walking through this peacemaker plan in our step groups. So making peace through amends, one verse that kind of illustrates this point is Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. And just for context, if you're not familiar, Matthew chapters 5 through 7 is the recording of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever told. And he's talking about the way that people who are part of his new kingdom, the way they ought to live. So he's saying, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've entrusted your life to him, this should be true of you. And so here's what it says in verses 23 and 24 of Matthew 5. It says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, you leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled with that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Now, there's a lot of unfamiliar to us, you know, kind of language here in these verses. But in the days of Jesus, in the days of where the temple was here in Israel, people would go to the temple to offer sacrifices, doves and sheep and goats and all of those different things to God as a part of their, in faith, believing that God would forgive them of their sins, that God would, make things that are wrong in their lives right. So this was before Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. This was the practice of making things right. Something had to die on the behalf of whatever was wrong, because sin always costs someone something. And ultimately, sin costs Jesus his life, right? So he's using that illustration of that point in time, and he's saying, hey, if you're someone who is a follower of God and you're going to the temple to offer the dove or the sheep or whatever it might be, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you. What does that mean? You remember in that moment as you're going before God into his presence to commune with him, and that God's spirit brings to mind, hey, remember that thing you said to him? Remember how you treated that person? Remember how you embarrassed them or humiliated them or made them feel small and insignificant? Remember that thing that you said, the way you treated them? They probably are hurt or mad at you or resentful of you for how you treated them in that moment. This scripture is saying, hey, before you go and offer an offering to God, like, you know, developing your one-on-one relationship with him, what do you have to do first? You need to stop and you need to go and be reconciled to that person and then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Why? It's because God cares deeply about our relationships with each other. In fact, if our relationships with each other are filled with brokenness and sin and pain and unforgiveness, it even hinders our relationship with God, right? Because this person in this example is going to God offering a spiritual sacrifice, and God is like, hey, before you even try to commune with me, let's make things right with the people in your life. That's what this is saying. And so that's the idea behind this concept of making amends, okay? So let me give you a definition of amends that's also in your workbooks. Amends is doing our part to repair the damage of our sin. Amends is doing our part to repair the damage of our sin. We all have people who have something against us. And what can we do to make it right? It starts with forgiveness, you know, between you and God, making that transaction. And then there's the amends piece, which is a conversation with that individual. So on page, let's see what page the amends was on. On page 109? Yes. Page 109 in lesson 13, it walks through the five steps of having or making having an amends conversation. And so here's what you do. If you want to commune with God and you're going before him to pray or to enjoy who he is, he says, if the Spirit of God reminds you that someone has something against you because of how you treated them, what you said, whatever the situation might be, he says, stop, go make amends, and then come back and worship God. And so even in that idea, it is clear that one of the greatest acts of worship is us going to someone and saying, hey, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? That's what he's saying. One of the greatest acts of worship that you could perform isn't singing the loudest, isn't memorizing a whole book of the Bible, isn't this fill-in-the-blank thing that you think is really spiritual. Although those things are good, he's saying one of the most spiritual things that you can do is own up to the fact that you were wrong and seek someone else's forgiveness. So the five A's of an amends conversation, if you're having a conversation with someone where you're going to them to make things right, the first thing that you do is you admit that you were wrong. You say, hey, I was wrong in how I excluded you, in what I said about you, in how I gossiped behind your back, and how I made you feel in front of those people, and how I misrepresented you in that situation. I was wrong. And then the second step in an amends conversation is saying, hey, I was wrong and I'm sorry. I can imagine if I was in your shoes, how that made you feel. And then you don't just stop at I'm sorry. Like, yeah, you are sorry for what you did and how you said it or how you treated that person. But you say, will you forgive me? And so there's an offer of a transaction in that conversation. When you say, I'm sorry, and you end at that point of the discussion, guess who is involved in that transaction? Just you. Because you're saying, hey, I am sorry for what I did, but there's no offer of communion or the restoration of communion with that other person, right? But will you forgive me? That question is really important because it's inviting that other person into the amends conversation. Will you forgive me? And then number four in the five A's of an amends conversation is accept the consequences. sometimes, you know, you might admit that you're wrong, you might apologize, you might ask for forgiveness, they might even say yes. But accepting the consequences is understanding that that there's a reality that because of how we may have treated someone, that may have impacted or influenced your relationship. So, you know, just because you ask for forgiveness and admit that you're wrong and apologize doesn't mean that the relationship is completely mended and everything is just as if nothing ever happened in the first place. Like, there's probably going to be some time to rebuild trust in that friendship or that relationship. That's an example of accepting the consequences that, hey, maybe because of what I did or how I treated that person, our relationship is a little different for a while as they begin to regain trust with me. And then number five is alter your behavior. I'd like to make it up to you by and committing to that person, hey, I'm not going to gossip about you anymore, or I'm not going to treat you in that way, I'm not going to make you feel that way, whatever it might be, a decision, a commitment to act differently in the future. So let me give you an example of this from my own life, and then we can wrap up looking at page 112 again, and then head to our step groups. So I went to college in from 2005 to 2009, and over those 4 years, I dated a couple girls during my college years. And honestly, for some of those times, those times in those relationships, I didn't lead those girls well, specifically in the physical nature of our relationship. And so in 2015, so literally almost 10 years after college, almost 10 years after some of those relationships, I just felt like God's Spirit was challenging me to make amends with those girls. I hadn't seen them in years. I hadn't talked to them in years. But I was really looking at my life and considering where I may draw the circle around myself, if you will, and ask God to show me who I need to make amends with. So I was doing this process, and those girls' names came to mind. And so I didn't have their numbers, but I looked up and tried to find their email addresses. I looked on Facebook when Facebook was a thing 10 years ago. But I found their email addresses, and I sent them an email, each of them individually, an email with these things in it, where I admitted that I was wrong in how I led the relationships poorly. I apologized and I asked for their forgiveness, and then I pressed send. And then I just waited to see how they would respond. And if I remember correctly, it was like a week later, and I got two responses from two of the girls where they were like, I accept your apology. Thank you for reaching out, even though we haven't talked in years. And they accepted my offer of forgiveness. And I think the third girl, she sent me a voicemail, if I can remember correctly. But I give you this example because I didn't want to do that at all. You know, like, I hadn't talked to these people in almost 10 years. But God's Spirit was challenging me in that moment to make things right. And maybe, just maybe, even as I tell you that story or give you that example personally, God's Spirit is bringing to your heart and to your mind someone that you need to make amends with, someone that you need to seek their forgiveness for how you treated them, for what you said to them, and how you led them poorly. And so that's what tonight is about in the terms of this idea of initiating reconciliation. So again, on page 112, where that crosses, last week we talked about forgiveness being the transaction between you and God. And today we're talking about doing our part to repair the damage of our sin. And notice the idea is doing our part. Like, we can't make someone forgive us. We can't make someone be willing to listen to the conversation we want to have with them. But all we can do is do our part. In fact, Romans, 12:18, it says, as much as is possible, live at peace with all men. Romans 12:18. And the reason that verse says as much as is possible is because what? There's two people involved in a relationship, right? Like, you can't control how they respond or if they forgive you or whatever else. But what you can do is take every step to admit that you're wrong, to apologize, to ask for forgiveness, to accept the consequences, and to alter your behavior. And so again, if someone's name is coming to your mind, it could be a sibling, could be a parent, could be a family member, could be a classmate, that you have wronged with your words or with your actions, this is an opportunity that the God Spirit is inviting you to potentially make amends. Now, even with this idea of making amends, one last caveat I'll give is, it's really important to, one, be yielded to the Spirit and ask the Spirit, Spirit, will you show me who I may need to have a conversation with, who I need to make amends with, who I need to own some things of things that I said or did with, and also to invite community into that conversation. Because there might be some people that it may not be the most appropriate step to try to meet with them in person or to have an amends conversation in person. It might be that the best thing for you is to, write a note to them that maybe you never give to them, but one that you like process out and bring before the Lord and ask the Lord to open that door for a conversation in the future. Maybe they're not ready to hear and have this amends conversation, and that's okay. We can't force them to be ready. We can't make them forgive us. Again, all we can do is do our part. And so, if as I'm sharing about this, people are coming to your mind and you're like, man, I don't know, this seems like a tricky situation, that's a great opportunity to bring up with your group, bring up with your step group leaders, maybe even your parents if they're followers of Jesus, to ask their advice and their thoughts on, hey, is this a good step for me to take? I'm trying to think of a recent or a more helpful example of what I mean by that. Maybe today, if the Spirit was convicting me to have those conversations with those girls, maybe I might do it a little differently because now I'm married and have two kids versus how I did it when I was single, in 2015. I can't think of maybe what I would do differently, but there are circumstances that probably would be handled differently just depending on where you're at in life and where those people are at in life. Does that make sense? While this is really important, it is also really important to be yielded to the Spirit and to be bringing it to community to give you guidance and counsel and wisdom for how to go about it. But that doesn't mean that we should be lazy and go, I haven't talked to them in a long while, so it might be awkward or it might be weird. Like, awkward or weird aren't great reasons to not have a conversation to make amends if God's Spirit is inviting you and calling you to own something that you did or something that you said, okay? All right, let's wrap up so you can have some time to talk this and flesh this out a little bit more in your groups. But here's what I would encourage you to do. In your step groups, pay attention to page 112 that talks about the forgiveness, vertically between you and God, and then amends between you and some individuals. And I want you to really think about and ask the Lord, who would you have me forgive for what they've done to me, for how they treated me, those who have harmed me? God, who would you have me entrust to you instead of holding on to the grudge or trying to enact justice myself? And maybe even take some time in your step group to pray those forgiveness prayers like we talked about last week. And then, what a great opportunity again to consider, God, is there anyone that I need to leave my gift at the altar with you, quote unquote, like Matthew 5:23, and go be reconciled with them before I come back to continue worshiping you? And maybe take some time even in your groups to talk through that, to pray through that, to write down some names on there if you haven't already. Okay? Guys, next week we are on the letter N in healing, in walking the steps towards healing. We literally have two more weeks. Next week we'll talk about new habits, and then the following week we'll celebrate what the Lord has done in our lives. And so if you're falling behind in the book work, this is a great time to catch back up as we get ready to wrap up the semester. So next week, be done with pages 114 to 130, which talks about the idea of new habits. So after you've entirely trusted your life to God, assess the situation, walk through some life change, initiated reconciliation through forgiveness and amends, what are some new habits and rhythms that you can establish in your life going forward? That's what we're going to be talking about next week. So you're dismissed to your groups to talk about the idea of amends.